This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Yes, indeed, it's that time of the week. It's Mark Dolan helping you digest the week's biggest stories in the company of top comics, Abby Roberts and Colin Chadwick. Guys, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks,
hello,
Mark.
You sexy bastard.
You're both looking good, dressed in black, which is demure and sexy.
Well, yes.
You see? And Colin Chadwick, two things about him before we start. He's boiling.
Yes. I think it's partly the black. I'm absorbing all of the heat from the clouds.
I think so. You're a bit of a medical phenomenon, aren't you, really?
Yeah, no, I can sweat like there's no tomorrow.
I think in Victorian times they would have put you in a cage and just studied you.
That's how I try to sell myself when I'm chatting up somebody, is I tell them I'm like a human hot water bottle. That's how I've kind of...
I tell you what, mate, if
what,
I was...
plastic and liable to leak in bed?
It's
you can have that.
Well, that's a lovely one. I think, personally, I'm at that age, Abby Roberts, which you are not, because I'm post to that 40 watershed. I would take that. If I saw that on Tinder or wherever it is that the young people find love, and it said, I'm a human hot water bottle, I'm like, I'm in.
I tend to hang around where they sell hot water bottles in Primark, and I just try to stop ladies and go, no, just bring me home. I can do just as good a job.
Well, I think you get to the age that I'm at, whereby it's not anymore. There's no frivolity in the bedroom. You know, it's companionship. And the idea that your body's so hot, I could hold it on bits of my lower back that are sore at the moment. That's quite a nice thought.
Yeah, it's very healing.
The other thing worth mentioning before we start, and we haven't even started yet. This is the prelogue. Do you remember those 70s cop dramas where there'd be like this prelogue thing, this little mini scene at the
preamble.
Beginning? Yeah, which we, it's the same with books. So books have a little, sometimes an introduction, which I hate in books. I've turned into Donald Trump. And by the way, I hate introductions
don't
in books.
Don't say bigly.
By the way, it's going to be a beautiful thing. But I do not understand why in books you have an introduction. It's like, can we just start when we start? Well, chapter one is where you start. What's the introduction thing?
I like, you know, previously on Homeland.
Oh yeah, well,
so good.
You like the recap.
I like it, yeah, because otherwise you just, and it's really, I love the way the Americans do it. We don't do it so well. It's a bit like, I don't know, boring. They're more snappy.
I could do
preamble.
With, because I'm married with kids and stuff like that, and we all work in the, of an evening. I'm actually very behind with the box set. I haven't even done like The Wire. I haven't done
Me neither.
The West Wing. Maybe what they should do, HBO should bring out a compilation of previously on The West Wing and make that a box set.
Yeah.
We can do the whole series.
Can catch up.
In
cut,
half an
cut
hour.
Down, yeah.
And for, do this. for busy comics.
Well, it would be good
think?
For dinner parties, wouldn't it? Because you could go, oh, yeah, well, of course I remember when that happened. And, you know, you'd actually know what was going on.
Yeah. And who needs the whole book when you just read the bit at the back? That's enough. That tells you what it's about. You
fill
in the gaps yourself.
I've certainly blagged my way through English class off the back of the back page and nothing, and just a lot of blarney.
Yeah. That's the way to go.
It's got to be done, isn't it? The other thing worth mentioning before we start, we're still in the introduction. This is the pre bit.
The cold open.
It is the cold open. Oh, nice language.
Previously on Mark Dolan.
That's it. It's just worth pointing out, Abby Roberts, ravishing and perfect as always. And also, Colin, ravishing and perfect in his own way, but we're also rocking a hoodie, of which I'm jealous. Two things I'm jealous. One, it suits you. Secondly, you're allowed to, because I don't want to labour the 40 thing. I think I've overdone it already. But someone bought me a top recently, which had a hood on. I put it on. It just looked inappropriate. It didn't. It looked like I was going to go in a van and groom youngsters. Do you know what I mean? I just felt like, I don't know, it's just so wrong for a man over 40 to have a hooded top.
Help me out. I feel that way. I feel like I don't suit a hoodie, but I just suit it better than a shirt and tie. I couldn't pull off your dapper kind of look.
You could pull off my shirt and tie anytime you like, big boy. You old flirt.
Put my hot hands on your back.
No, but crucially, you're in, what are you, in your early 30s, Chadders?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I look worse, though. I look older than that. It depends, actually.
What would you say is your visual age? What age do you think you look?
I don't know, 36, 7. Roberts. It depends on when I shave.
How old? What, can we have, can we have an age for Colin?
I'd say mid-30s.
Yeah, 33. It's perfect age for an Irish accent. 33.
Well, what's good about looking older than you are is that you're going to live for ages. And even when you're an old man, you're like, is Colin Chadwick still alive? Well, I mean, he was old in the 90s.
Well, that's I have looked exactly like this since I was 16, so it's not too bad. I'm kind of catching up.
It's like your fellow Irishman Dara O'Brien has looked. He's looked like that since he was five.
Yeah,
and I'm also of Celtic extraction. I was born in Wales, and I've got a theory that the Celts, the Irish, and the Welsh, my granddad used to call it a potato face, but thanks, granddad, and it doesn't age. You know what I mean?
It's kind of got that.
I mean, I look at pictures of my Welsh aunts in their like 80s, and it's like they look quite young.
Well, here's the other spookorama, which you mentioned, elderly aunts, which is something that happens to people. I've got a theory that everyone has got like their sort of 5-year window in which they look good. Okay. And some people just absolutely peak at, say, I don't know, 15. Good example to me would be Prince William. Age 15, he was the most, you know, adored teenager.
Looked like his mother.
On the planet.
Yeah, yeah.
With floppy, rich, voluminous blonde hair and big brown eyes. And it was just getting it done. So, like, teenage Prince William. And, you know, fully grown father, man, Prince William, not so much.
Not so good.
Harry,
most people do look better as they get older.
Harry as a child, Prince Harry, just looked wrong for years. Now, bang, nailed it.
Prince Harry's my kind of guy.
So I'm curious, is he getting it? Is it a thumbs up? Are you in?
Yeah, just because he's cheeky, naughty, bit irreverent. Prince William's slightly, I'm not supposed to use the future king, so he can't really throw some banging parties at Kensington Palace. But Prince Harry, to me, has got more of Princess Diana.
Yeah,
rebellious.
Yeah, well, let's be honest, he certainly hasn't got much Prince Charles. Anyway, I'm careful, our lawyers are listening.
Steady on.
I think that, therefore, like, for example, I think you get this a lot, Colin, with old ladies, which is sometimes, you'll get an old lady, right? She could be, like, 85 and have a very, like, good bone structure and just a great face for an 85-year-old. You're like, you're already five and you just look great. And you see a picture of her on her wedding day, age 21, just wrong.
Oh, really?
Just a wrong face. But by the time she's hit 85, it just slipped into pole position.
So when was your 5-year peak? Have you hit it yet?
We're still waiting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've spoken to doctors about it, and they're projecting early 50s is my time.
Oh, yeah. I think I got mine over and done with in the first 5 years of my life, I think.
Really? You were like just an Adonis toddler.
I was a pretty meaty, healthy-looking toddler. I looked like I presented a farming show when I was five. You know, I was kind of perfectly formed then. That was the closest I've been to a proper human.
Did you look like a farmer aged five? Did you have that farmer look?
Yeah, I had that kind of look, and my mother dressed me in what looked like safari suits. I kind of looked like what a farmer would look like if they dressed like Jesse J. That's what I looked like as a baby.
That's an amazing image.
I had a lot of like kind of onesie type things and a lot of hand-me-downs from my sisters too that my mother used to put on me.
Did you sing excruciatingly high notes?
No, I had a very deep voice as a baby. I was a very serious baby.
I think we're in the presence of greatness here.
We are.
I mean, I thought I'd lived an interesting life. And I'm just a scrap of detail about your childhood, and you've become the most interesting person we've ever had on the show.
We could do a special about
your
life.
You're a human hot water bottle. You dressed as a farmer aged five.
Yeah, that was my chosen career.
In the clothing of a pop star that hadn't even been born at that point.
I'll bring you in a photograph.
Time travel.
I'll bring you in a photograph of me sitting on a toy tractor with a kind of what looks like a bathing suit.
But you get this. I think we'll quit while we're ahead.
This is when I was like 3 or 4.
I think
like
the bathing
yesterday.
Suit. I can just feel the audience just
leaving
the rack. I can hear doors being slammed.
Put the tea on, love.
You do get that with certain celebrities. We're about to talk about the news, but we need to finish this point. We're still in the introduction, by the way. This isn't it. Don't judge this yet, guys, because this isn't it.
We're just warming up.
That's what Frankie Howard used to do with his stand-up routine. He'd do like a half an hour spot, and 20 minutes in, he'd be like, don't worry, we haven't started yet. This isn't it. So we're channeling Frankie Howard today.
Where have those comics gone? Where have the funny ones gone?
They might have died.
Sorry, she says.
No,
controversially.
But they've been replaced by you and Colin Chadwick, the Chadders, the human hot water bottle, Mr.
Very
Farmer.
True.
So, but you get that with certain celebrities. It's hard. I can't say to you, Abby, when's your best year. I think your whole life is your best year, looks wise.
I think I like to think of myself as a nice piece of furniture that, you know, the older I get, the more comfortable it is to sit it on me.
it's all coming out now.
It's all
coming.
You know what I mean?
Given you that Prosecco before
the
show.
Look at that lovely arm. You know, I just, and also when you're confident, I think the people I find most attractive are really, they're really confident.
Yeah.
Like Jack Nicholson, yeah. Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
The older they get, I just go, ooh, you know, lovely. Youth to me is totally unsexy.
I always say this about
really,
someone like
genuinely.
Jack Black. You know, Jack Black probably.
Yeah, gorgeous.
You could say the guy's, he might be overweight or something, but he's just got this vibe, which is I'm Jack Black and I'm in the house.
How sexy is Helen Mirren?
Now, Helen Mirren's a good example.
Gravitas.
I think in her 60s, nailing it. In her 20s, probably a waif like, you know, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing to speak of.
Yeah.
So you do get that with celebrities, and they have their, like, for example, I'm wondering whether David Beckham might have had his time. What do we think? Has the crow flown away from that nest, which is
Don't
famously
talk about Victoria like that.
Not a saying. Oh, ouch.
I think he's still got it, surely. He's in a different kind of league.
But how's he going to look when he's in his 70s with those tattoos?
Yeah.
Well, I think 70-year-old skin is not going to look that great anyway,
like
is
parchment.
It?
Parchment.
Like, I think not everyone's a Helen Mirren.
No.
I don't think I think the if you were to look at me naked when I'm 70, the tattoos are the least of your worries.
Okay.
I mean, David Beckham's like a Renoir, but you wouldn't want to grope a Renoir. I mean, to me, it's like, it's just aesthetically, he's pleasing. But because he hasn't got a lot of, like, weird intelligence, and, you know, you can see that. So to me, it's like just looking at a painting.
I wonder whether one of the things is that if you have a look which is particularly associated with being cool or funky or youthful, then you tend not to age very well. So,
yeah,
you
exactly.
know, maybe Russell Brand is going to, who's a great comic, a great colleague of ours, but, you know, when he's in his 50s, if he still does the kind of backcombing thing with his hair, and if he's still, I've got the perfect full stop, because I was looking for an out to our introduction.
Yeah.
And I think I've nailed it, because up till this point, the audience and also both of you in the studio have openly disagreed with me about my theory that everyone's got like a decade or a window.
Yeah.
I've just won it with two words. Johnny Depp. How ludicrous does Johnny Depp now look with his tattoos and his chains and his eye makeup?
And his dubious marital relations.
Yes.
I've got to be very careful again.
But if I was his agent, I'd be like, go to Savile Row in London, the greatest tailors on the planet.
Mm.
Get yourself a three-piece suit, a silk tie, a cravat, a handkerchief. You know what I mean? Mm. Just go old school. But please stop dressing up some kind of weird,
like you're going to a festival.
90s hipster
but
thing.
I think the way he dresses suits his personality, and it's good to have that red flag there, I think, so you can see.
Are you telling me his whole look is just a warning to basically keep away, I'm an idiot?
He's just a bit of a dickhead, isn't he? And that's how he dresses, so I think it's good that people dress suitably like he does.
And on that satirical and highly libelous note, so it begins. That is the end of the introduction. Here comes chapter one.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Now, we were supposed to do this 5 minutes ago, but Abby Roberts is such a bloody chatterbox. Lots and lots of news going on this week. Gareth Bale has signed a £600,000 a week deal, £600,000 a week deal, keeping him at Real Madrid until 2021. The proud Welshman celebrated by buying a place in Wales. It's called Cardiff. Black Friday mania has overtaken Britain once again. We'll be talking about it on the show very shortly. I can see the look of excitement in Abby Roberts' eyes. But Black Friday is a big thing. UKIP will be celebrating Black Friday too, but it's a different kind of event. A woman has been charged. This actually happened, guys. A woman has been charged for having sex with her dog. Sex with her dog. Apparently, after sex, they used to share a postcoital marrow bone. How sweet! Andy Murray is world number one. Can we get a cheer in the studio for Andy Murray? Great Brit, a great Scot. What an achievement!
Yay!
I mean, it's amazing. He's world number one, and he's won Wimbledon twice, and he's won the Olympics. It's not bad, is it?
Not bad at all.
So who would be his brother, Jamie? Who'd be Jamie?
Who's Jay? Who is he?
Right, well, here's the thing. How annoying is this? He plays tennis too. How annoying is that?
He's number one in doubles, though.
Well done. Exactly. Good work. Brownie point for the Chadders. Yeah. He can take comfort from the fact, Jamie can take comfort from the fact that he's world number one at doubles. And also, he always wins at Trivial Pursuit when the family get together. So,
is that on his own or is he with somebody, though?
He gets help, including the internet. Yeah. I think Andy lets him win because I think if it was also Trivial Pursuit,
give him something,
I think we're just looking at
sports and leisure. Is easy though, isn't it? Sports and leisure.
God, that's a gimme.
It is.
Sales of Scottish drink Iron Brew have reached a record high at the House of Commons since the arrival of 50 new SNP MPs into the House. Also, sales of deep fried food, alcohol and heroin have never been better. Kanye West has been reportedly having mental troubles with increasingly erratic behaviour and mad rants on stage. However, it was only when he endorsed Donald Trump that people realised he needed to go to hospital. Jeremy Clarkson's new motoring show, The Grand Tour, has been received with almost universal praise. Have either of you had a chance to take a look at it? Have you seen The Grand Tour?
No.
No? Any remote interest on either of your parts to see it?
Not really.
No, well,
really.
That's lucky for you. It's available to viewers of Amazon Prime, which costs £800 million a month. Do you know what makes Amazon Prime worth it? Can I just? I actually have Amazon Prime, and you've got this thing now where you get free deliveries and you get the free fast deliveries, and sometimes you can order something like in the morning, and then it comes like in the afternoon or that day in the evening, which is freaky, you know. And I've actually seen the guy that delivers for Amazon. Sometimes he's just in a bunk bed in my front garden, just waiting.
And just, waiting for the call.
We've become quite close. When my wife's away, he comes into the house because it's so cold outside. Do you know what I mean? I can't watch him suffer like that.
Yeah.
But there's no hanky-panky, do you know what I mean? I wouldn't do that. No. It wouldn't be right. Anyhow, it's been well received, The Grand Tour, by viewers and critics alike, although apparently President-elect Donald Trump found it too racist. And that, ladies and gentlemen, brings to a close our countdown of the week's big stories. Now we lock into a hilarious unscripted chat with Abby Roberts and Colin Chadwick. And guys, we're going to kick off with the Queen, the royal family. There are lots of different royal stories floating about. Of course, Prince Harry has his new glamorous Hollywood girlfriend, Meghan Markle. We'll come to that. Can this guy ever have a normal relationship, a normal love life? Even should he? But let's start with the palace, which is going to need to be renovated to the tune of £370 million. It's going to take 10 years. And predominantly, it seems to be very infrastructural. It's like it's unsexy stuff. It's cables. It's plumbing. It seems to be, Abby, that the reason why this is happening now is that politically, it was too sensitive to do this hitherto. Government after government doesn't want to be the one that goes, we're going to spend all this money on the Queen. But they are actually worried that the place will, like, burn down. Because that's the thing about 60-year-old, you know, electric cabling and stuff, is that it might actually burn down. So they've got to do it. There's no question it has to happen.
Yeah.
But who pays?
Who pays? That's a good question. I think probably the Queen should take the bulk of it, I would say. I'm just going to think it's going to be interesting, though, when she gets the builders in. If they were Polish builders, they probably would have got it done in 5 years.
Correct. But and it wouldn't have been 370 million, would it?
No.
Would it be like £800 plus VAT?
Plus VAT. Yeah. And then if it was British builders, they'd be like, the roof. Oh, it's going to cost you.
Oh, now you've raised the spectre that post-Brexit, this job's going to cost £1 billion rather than 370 million, isn't it?
Oh, it's just all...
And it'll be badly done.
And then hasn't the House of Commons got to be rebuilt as well?
Yes, it does.
You know, why don't we just start again?
Yeah.
This is what the anarchists have been waiting for, haven't they?
Yeah.
Let Buckingham Palace and the House of Commons in one go. In fact, just make it a I don't know, two up, two down in Palace.
It is very, very politically loaded. What's refreshing about Colin Chadwick is that you are an Irishman, so in a sense you're separate from this.
Yeah.
You know, you're not necessarily caught up in this.
I can comment as a builder, but not as a subject of the Queen. But
they're
not
a builder as well, by the way. I wish you were.
No, I kind of doing open mic building. they won't get that investment back out of it, though. No matter how much they sell it for, they won't get.
I think you're absolutely right.
But I was thinking that the Queen could pay, but if she just did a few more profitable appearances rather than appearing at the opening of a new library school,
yeah.
Go on, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
A brilliant idea.
I'd say she'd get fairly well paid.
I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, Philip.
Yeah. I think if she appeared on that or Big Brother, she'd be the best paid. And I think she'd get a chunk. She'd get, what, 10 million?
What would they? I mean, they would have to pay 10 million starts, for the Queen.
She starts doing some reality TV show appearances. I think
the problem is that the public are so silly when it comes to who they vote out of the jungle. They always get rid of the best people. She'll probably go in the first week, and then she spends the rest of the series in a 5-star hotel in Australia.
I think they'd like to keep her building being done. Well, that's true. I think they'd like to keep her in there just to see how she goes in the jungle.
The bush chucker.
Yeah, maybe I'm wrong, but
and also 10 years, quite optimistic.
Do you think so?
For various reasons. I don't want to go there, but, you know, it's a bank holiday. Where did it happen? I said it.
You've been there. You went there.
I went
but
there.
You're right.
Come
you're
on.
Right to go there.
It should have been the Irishman saying that. But it was me instead.
I think the thought of her in the jungle is an amazing thought. And
I think that's going to be the way she can make money.
And you know what the palace, the kind of the press office at the palace would advise her? They'd coach her before she went in. And the big thing is they say the first thing you've got to do is you've got to have a bikini shower like Mylene Klass. You've got to have the waterfall moment. That'll be the first thing that Mom does.
That'll be on the new £10 notes when they come.
That's it. She'll be washing one's midriff half naked.
Philip, could you pass the soup?
Yeah, it won't be Philip though. It'll be someone off of TOWIE.
Gary Barlow. You've got to have a TOWIE, yeah.
I'm going to throw a spanner in the works here, and I'm going to say a few things. First of all, it's a bit of a myth that the Queen is rich. Basically, she's got these assets. She can't flog Windsor Castle to pay for half of this. Do you know what I mean? That's not within her.
She can't flip property.
She can't stick the crown jewels on eBay.
She can't remortgage.
By the way, do you know what I mean? You think that's right? I'm calling, and what's the reason for the remortgage? I'm just going to do up the bathroom. Which one? All 87 of them. It's like, phone's just going to hang up, isn't it? Santander aren't going to go for that, are they?
Please hold.
Yeah.
Connect you to somebody.
I'm going to speak to my manager about this. I need to speak to my line manager about your 87 bathrooms. But so she can't put the crown jewels on eBay, although I'm curious what the buy it now price of the crown jewels would be on. Have you ever, as a customer of eBay, ever bought the buy it now, or do you always go for the bidding?
I go for the buy it now sometimes.
Old devil.
Yeah, if I'm
you
impatient.
Don't wait, do you, Chadwick?
Yeah, no, I'm impatient.
I bid once. I waited for a bid for a faux, shows kind of person I am.
Good sentence.
A faux fur. You know, one of those kind of like leopard print, real kind of Bette Lynch, you know, like gorgeous 1950s.
Yeah.
And it was literally down to the wire, and I didn't get it. And I vowed never to do it again because I was depressed for about a day.
I can't get on with my life. If I'm watching an item, then I don't make eye contact with my kids. I don't, do you know what I mean? I don't finish sentences.
Because you're just thinking about that.
It's all I can think of. Yeah. And I never win the bid on eBay. I think it all feels a bit stitched up to me.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're election.
They're getting their friend Barbara to bid higher just to get the price up.
Well, they got automatic digits, haven't they? People that just sort of, people pay have them done automatic bids.
I was at an auction once at a private members club in central London with my lovely wife, and I did something that I will regret to this day.
Especially you didn't sell her, did you?
Well, I'm afraid to. I'm getting her back, but I'm paying for her slowly.
Okay.
I did something so stupid. You know, we're comics, so we would never do a joke that was so obvious that everyone else does. That's we try to pride ourselves on that, don't we? For example, no comic would go to an airport and go, "There's a bomb in my bag." That's something that that's a non-comic joke, right?
Yeah.
And there are jokes that people that aren't comedians would do as a joke. But I did a non-comic joke. which I'm so embarrassed about.
What was it?
An auction, and I did a joke. I'll bid for that. I did a joke hand in the air, as in, I'll buy it, as a joke.
Oh, no.
And the bid was taken.
And what was the item?
Basically, it was a...
a George the Fourth.
It was a painting, and it was really, really playful. It was a good piece of work. It was basically a nude, but it was ludicrously, like, a seaside postcard nude. Enormous,
what do you mean?
Enormous, great comedy boobs, almost, right?
Yeah.
But done by some funky, expensive artist,
like
probably
Feral
based
Cook.
In something like that.
Yeah,
exactly. But really much saucier and raunchier than that, because we're talking about full nude. We're talking about the vagine and the boobaloobies out there in full frontal.
The growler and the baps. You say?
I'm afraid so.
Do you still have this painting?
No. So what happened is that I actually didn't have to buy it in the end.
Okay.
But what happened is
it went to,
and I've got to tell you, it was a particularly financially ruinous time for me. And I was feeling very broke. And anyway, I'd had a drink or whatever, and they produced this thing, right? And it was so outrageously rude and OTT. And I looked at my wife, and she was like horrified just at seeing this painting, right? So as a joke, he went, well, start at 1,000. I'm like, obviously, I'm in. Right? I put my hand up. Then nothing happened. I shit you not. This was the longest 25 seconds of my life. Nothing. And he's like, 1,000. Do I have any more? I got 1,000. I got 1,000 for the gentleman at the back whose wife has just left him in the glasses. I got 1,000. Do I hear more? And then suddenly, just like 26 seconds in, just as he's about to hit the hammer, I'm not even exaggerating, he went, 1,200. 1,200. Boom. I'm off the hook. Until I realised that was my wife bid 1,200. Yeah. I'm like, you're not helping. Yeah. You're not helping. No, but I didn't. But I did almost. Now, I know it would be a better story if I'd bought this thing and it was still hanging in my living room.
Mm. It would be a good reminder.
Part of me wishes I had.
Yeah.
But my bank balance didn't. And also, what a stupid thing. But so don't do that.
I'll get you a nude for 800.
Is it going to be you?
Yeah.
Is it going to be
big
you?
Big comedic boobs, though.
Jesse J.
Yeah, on a tractor.
Farmer's outfit.
Yeah.
I'd buy that.
All right, so there you go. But I'm quickly to defend the Queen. I don't really think that she's literally just got a massive current account. I think it's complicated. She pays tax now. A lot of the way that the palace work is that she's opened the palace up. It makes a lot of money from foreign visitors. It's the UK's biggest tourist attraction. Crucially, it doesn't belong to her. Buckingham Palace is not her house. First of all, she doesn't live there. It's an office. Secondly, it's a public monument which we own. I say we fix it. Get off the Queen's back. There, I said it.
Could she chip in?
Okay, I think I like your angle, and I'm going to... Like, I've got any control over this. Because on this show, we actually do execute...
This will go to the palace. This show.
If you're listening, Mum.
That's why I'm wearing a tie today, because the Queen's on the webcam, Mum. And I think you're right. I think a symbolic amount such as perhaps the 10 million, just as a kind of, I'll chip in.
I'm a celebrity money.
It's a bit like, you know, when you're, I don't know if any of you are in flat shares at the moment, have been in flat shares.
Oh, yes, yeah. Many.
You had that thing where with the phone bill, you can't have that scenario where people start underlining phone numbers going,
no.
So what you do is you go, do you know what? Should we just split this three ways? I'll chip in. I actually didn't really use the phone that much in the last quarter.
Yeah.
But for the sake of the next 2 hours and underlining stuff.
Yeah. Do you think she puts her name on the crown jewels? Like Liz's hands off?
On the milk. Milk in the fridge.
I would have thought. There's no doubt that's what's happening. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to keep this ribald laughter going. The time is 12:28. They call me Mark Dolan. It's FUBAR Radio, which is the UK's largest ad-free online radio station. I'm in the company of top comedians Abby Roberts and Colin Chadwick. Before we go into a record and then onto a conversation about Black Friday and whether it's gone too far, and also just a lot of other outrageous stories that are in the news at the moment, Abby Roberts, can I get a plug for your professional work at the moment, please? What's happening? There's always stuff happening with you.
We're talking about comedy now. My professional work.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Well, doing lots of, as usual, on the circuit, doing gigs, and also taking my Anglichanka, my hour show Anglichanka, all about Russia, about me speaking Russian, going and doing stand-up in Russian earlier this year. I'll be taking it on tour all the way through 2017 next year, because guess what? 2017, take away 100 years, you get to 1917.
Oh,
the timing couldn't be better. I've got a feeling there's going to be lots about Russia in the news anyway, regardless.
Yeah, there tends to be. I mean, you doing stand-up in Russian, that makes Eddie Izzard look lazy.
It does, although he was running 27 marathons in a row in South Africa.
You're just going to be doing shots of vodka, aren't you?
Just doing shots. Do you know what? I'd actually rather learn a whole other language and do stand-up in it than run 27 marathons.
Yeah, that's the challenge.
I will learn Mandarin. Do that. But it was great, and it was a real challenge, and it's probably the best thing I've ever done, best decision I made to go and do it.
Yeah. Now, what's the background in Russian? Explain why you are able to speak Russian.
Able to speak Russian because my dad was a spy, sort of diplomat. Well, a diplomat in the 80s. Oh, that was well saved. And
by the way, I should just point out he's under this table.
I don't know
what he's doing down there, but I've never enjoyed the show as much as this one.
He's well trained, so in the late 80s, he used to come back from going to business in Moscow. I liked to hear him speak in Russian. I got a real kind of feel for it and wanted to learn it. So I did a degree in it, and then went and studied in Moscow in the early 90s at the Moscow Conservatoire as an opera singer.
Right.
It sounds like I'm making all this up. I swear this is all absolutely true. And then and I kept my Russian up.
Yeah.
Because obviously my dad, you know, and we had Russians in the house.
Of course, under the carpet.
All sorts of people. I mean,
behind the curtains? Did you ever see any of them, or did you only have their silhouette behind a set of blinds?
Just a sort of, like, dark outline. In fact, we...
There's Uncle Vaclav hanging off the ceiling.
There he is, Uncle Vaclav. In fact, we had Alec Guinness filmed Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy in our living room. That's a little bit of weird trivia.
It's a bit weird that they needed
stuff that
they needed
there,
to go to a real spy's house to do a fictionalised account of a...
Well, it was because, I suppose, because my dad was kind of new people,
yeah.
I'm doing it in inverted commas, all that, and people like John le Carré as well is a good friend of his. So we used to just, anything to do with Russia would be in the house. I mean, Gorbachev, he didn't come to our house. I didn't say, all right, Gorby, for a cup of tea. I met him and his wife at an event. So it was all very... kept this fairly secret until now.
How was Gorbachev? How was Gorbachev?
Gorbachev, actually very friendly.
Yeah.
Very friendly, yes. Yeah. He's not very liked in Russia, though. Not as a... he's actually not... top 10 leaders.
Hmm.
Stalin is number one.
As you do.
Gorbachev, nowhere on the... on the list.
Well, the funny thing
is, on the charts,
well,
yeah, he hasn't even made it.
What courageous about Gorbachev, people forget, is that essentially he executed a set of policies which made his job disappear, which was probably for the good of Russia or for the good of the Soviet bloc, wasn't it? But essentially, he kind of wound down the Soviet Union, didn't
he? With Perestroika and Glasnost.
Yeah. He kind of wrapped it up. It'd be a bit like whoever it was that discharged the British Empire and said, Singapore, you can... You just go back now and you have, you know what I mean, we're done.
Yeah.
Which was probably the right thing to do. Similarly, the breakup of the Soviet Union was the right thing to do because it was a sort of terribly undemocratic thing and it kept millions of people in poverty, whereas suddenly countries like Ukraine and all the rest of it could have determination and elections.
And now we're kind of back slightly to square one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we don't have someone nice and looking at the bigger picture that like Gorbachev.
Like Gorbachev did,
Did he have that? He had a red birthmark, didn't he?
He did.
Was it real?
Was a map. Yes, that was a real birthmark. So it was a strawberry mark.
There's a great moment in The Naked Gun when, for some reason, only in the Naked Gun movies, President Gorbachev winds up on the floor in some sort of fight at an event. And I can't remember if it's Frank Drebin, but someone tries to... rub it off his head. And they do, and they get it off. And
they
get it off, and then they look at the camera and go, I knew it wasn't real. So silly. Yeah. So what do you think about the current sort of mood in Russia? It feels to me like Russia hasn't been this hated in terms of world opinion.
Yeah.
Certainly in my lifetime. In fact, growing up, we've mentioned Perestroika and all that.
Perestroika, the 80s,
and
Glasnost.
That was a time of a complete rehabilitation of our understanding of that part of the world. And it was like coming into, you know, elections and the people are speaking.
Yeah, the Cold War being over, the Berlin Wall coming down and
McDonald's
all that
sort of stuff. Moscow. Now, I know McDonald's is not, it's symbolic, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was the weirdest thing going to McDonald's. and you know, kind of like cheeseburger. It's just so weird. Big Mac. And it was just like seeing these people, but honestly, they
McFlurry.
Yeah. Oh, this apple pie is roasting hot. It feels like it's got nuclear waste in it. That's because it has. And it was just very weird. But it was a very strange transition being there, like literally on the crossover. Because obviously I'd been before I studied there, and then and it was very Soviet. And then all of a sudden, it's kind of got much. It's got more and more westernized.
Yeah.
So like you'll see, I don't know, you'll see Gucci now on like near Red Square, and it's a very strange thing. But yeah, we're not the Russians aren't our relations aren't very good. But I think they'll be better now that I've been over.
You're going to definitely
help. We're going to fix them. Yeah,
that's what I said. I'm here on a peace mission.
Do you think that we don't understand Putin? Is important for us to see why he's this figurehead in Russia? Because maybe at home, all of his belligerence, perhaps it plays well, and that's why he does it.
Do you know what I was talking to? Somebody the other day, a Russian, who said there's a strange thing in their history. And I don't know if you know the historian, the writer, what's his name? Sebag Montefiore.
Simon Sebag Montefiore, clever guy.
Has written a book all about the history of Russia. And he says, and this is what Russians themselves say, is that they've got a predetermined history. And the quote is, their history is like a troika that's out of control.
Oh.
And it's, but it's always going in the same direction. So if anyone tries to do this with it, it's brought back into life. So they've got a sort of strange predetermined history, and they like strong leaders.
Yeah.
They like to be sort of taken charge of.
Do you think maybe, Colin, in the absence of a decent standard of living, which I feel has dogged Russia for 1,000 years, really, it's never been a land of plenty, always just a land of rich oligarchs and kings and leaders, but the public have generally drawn the short straw, it strikes me.
Yes.
In a country that has some of the most demanding, brutal physical conditions on Earth.
Oh, yeah, it can get down to minus 25. I've been in where it's there. It's minus 25 degrees. We don't know what cold is.
Now, that
in this
is minus 25. I don't want to brag, guys, but I have an outstanding, high quality fridge, right? It's a John Lewis. Did you know that John Lewis, they've got their own appliances? Well, John Lewis have a partnership with AEG, the German electronic giant.
Yeah.
And John Lewis have got a thing where what they do is they license the technology and they put their own name on it. So you can have a John Lewis dishwasher or you can have a John Lewis fridge. I've got a John Lewis fridge. Now, I just two things. If they're willing to put their name to the fridge, it's got to be quite good, isn't it? John Lewis?
Yeah.
Be like if I was Putin and they said this new nuclear warhead, it's a John Lewis.
Like, well, you can't argue with that.
Ivan Lewis.
And if it doesn't wipe out the Western world, then you just take it back, swap it for kitchen scales or...
Even if you just change your mind, you just go, they're really good. They're really good with returns. Yeah, I've decided against nuclear war.
I had that.
My
great John Lewis moment was when I bought a kettle, I took it back. And for some reason, I was in a real honest mood. Because you know where you go, I bought it for my grandma, and she, you know what I mean? So many dead grandmas because of
you.
She's another, they're like, how many grandmas have you had? But anyway, so you know, for some reason, you stupidly lie. You don't have to lie. But John Lewis, I just said, they said, what's the problem? I said, it works fine. I just don't love it. Mm-hmm. And the guy said to me, let me count the words. He just, five words, he went, that's good enough for me. Do you love it? That's good. It's John Lewis.
That's nice.
You just don't love it. And that's quite right. I have a fridge, and it's a good one, a freezer, right? The freezer compartment goes to minus 16, which is really cold. But that is warm compared to a Russian winter.
Compared to a Russian winter.
What do you say, minus 26?
Minus 20 to 25.
I'm just thinking how good my petit pois peas would be. On the street in Russia.
These Russians have everything. You know, they don't need a John Lewis freezer. They can just step outside. Yeah.
But do you understand... what do you think, Colin? Because it feels like Russia is the kind of bad boy of international politics. Do you think that Putin has earned it, or is it? Have we got Russia phobia going on here?
I think it's partly that, because I don't think people know as much as they think they know about Russia.
Yeah.
Abby will probably know, but although when you say the bad boy of international politics, that makes them sound really cool. It's true. They're like the Cobra Kai of politics, you know. Yeah. I don't think people really know what's happening in Russia, so they assume the worst.
Mm.
That's why.
I don't know. I mean, because I'm not, unfortunately, I'm not really across the minutiae of international affairs. And it's good that I'm not, because this show isn't there to do that.
Yeah, of course.
Because you've got Radio 4 and the rest of it. But the brushstroke sort of feedback I've had, people come to me and they explain. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I have advisors. Like, if a world leader dies, I get woken in the night.
MI5 Mr. tapping Dolan. On your window.
Yeah, normally your dad.
Yeah.
And but it seems like the impression I have is that what Putin is doing is creating a lot of instability in the Middle East in order to provoke a mass exodus into Europe of immigrants from Syria and the like. That the allegation is he's basically created this turmoil in order to produce a humanitarian crisis, which is going to affect Europe because Europe is a big sort of rival slash enemy. Mm. And also that whilst claiming to be trying to destroy ISIS, what he's been doing is propping up Assad's Syrian regime, which we can confirm that Syria's actual regime, the incumbent, is a master of evil and terror.
Yeah.
And he's in cahoots with Putin. Now, is this true? Is it fair? And if so, are we right to condemn Russia?
It's a quagmire. I like that word because that's exactly what it is. Economically, Russia is in dire straits. Mm. So what they tend to do, I don't mean a band from the 80s, what they tend to do is they tend to look outside themselves to what else they can distract the country from. I mean, North Korea did it. Don't look at all this terrible poverty. I know, let's get involved in a war. Let's get involved in Syria, because then, of course, Putin looks like a big, strong leader.
Yeah.
And I'm going to... But also, it's difficult because, for me... It's like ISIS. It's ISIS versus Assad, and they've both been sponsored by the West.
Sure, there are shades of grey.
Do you know what I mean? Curtis.
The other quick question. I feel bad putting you on the spot because I think in some ways none of us really know, and Trump thinks quite the opposite of Obama, and the enmity between Obama and Putin is palpable. This week, they barely shook hands. They sort of brushed hands. We'll come to that, because I want to talk about how important greetings are in 2016 and how you're supposed to greet different people and what their status is. But they didn't make eye contact. And I don't know if you saw that, but it was an amazing moment. The guys, Obama he hates Putin. I think essentially he just thinks of Putin as basically you're just cut from the same cloth as Hitler, actually. You are you are presiding over the murdering of children and families and carnage for political gain. That's the accusation of the allies in the West. So here's my quick question for you before we move on. Putin himself, what you know of him, is he just a tremendous opportunist who has assimilated into this role and, as you said, tapped into that Russian narrative of, we're a great nation and we're proud and we're going to fight and da-da-da. Has he just read that and basically been pragmatic and stayed in power just because he's a clever guy? Or is he actually a monster? Has he got a personality disorder? Is he evil? What do you think? Clever pragmatist or monster?
I mean, I think anyone that's trained in the Secret Service or the KGB, well, was KGB, now FSB, someone that has trained... What we have to understand about this man...
No, the FSB is the Electricity Board.
The FSB, hello. Is that the FSB,
please? I know,
because
I get all my energy from the FSB.
The FSB.
The other day,
wonder it's all going wrong.
I only saw half of the X Factor because I'd not paid my bill to the FSB.
That's where Buckingham Palace have got their wiring from.
Correct.
imagine, if you will... Theresa May has trained with
SAS.
The SAS. Yeah, imagine she's like done all
parachute
that
regiment.
But we watch those programs where you just go, "Oh my god, how does anyone do this?
Yeah.
Get through this." Imagine that level of physical ability and mental kind of hardness, and that's what is leading Russia at the moment. So he's actually quite unusual in that respect.
So you'd say not necessarily a born monster, but just a very hard man that's probably insulated himself from emotion in the execution of his work.
Yes, I think. He's probably borderline sociopath, I would say. Mm. But he's come from. Don't forget that in 1993, when there was a coup and they got rid of Gorbachev and Yeltsin and Perestroika and all the kind of democratic process, Putin was ready to come in because he was surrounded by people that said, "We don't want Russia." to be like the West. What are you doing? Because Russia faces east and west. You know, when it's, you see the emblem, the eagle, pointing both ways, and that's always going to be its problem.
You know, Abby Roberts' definitive answers there, Colin. She mentioned Boris Yeltsin, and that,
yeah,
that reminds
me. Favorite.
That was the good old days, wasn't it? Can you remind us of Boris Yeltsin?
Well, I think all I can, there's really, someone's put a supercut on YouTube. I've watched it so many times of all of the times he's looked a bit close to falling over. And
yeah.
Picks up, and one of them, he picks up a girl in a bikini and drops her into the sea off a pier. He does some.
What's not to like?
He looks. He did visit Ireland years ago. Apparently, was too drunk to get off the plane,
so he
just stayed on the plane, and which is a good way to see Ireland. In fairness to him,
of course it is. Well, I tell you what, we've got a few precious minutes left of the show. It's been one of my favourites. I hope yours too. We're gonna briefly after this record, we're going to talk about a house in America that a couple spent a lot of money essentially blinging up and improving. They then put it on a barge and shipped it to another part of America via the sea. So our question will be, and it's to you as well at home, at FUBAR Radio, at the office, skiving, at FUBAR Radio, Dolan at FUBARradio.com, where would you plonk your home? Where, if you could transport your place, would you send it? We're also going to ask about the Ant and Dec sort of drama, because they did a slightly Australian stereotype joke on I'm a Celebrity. Question was it funny? Was it not funny? Was it ill-advised? We're also going to look at Black Friday and find out what bargains are out there. So all that, much, much more in the company of Colin Chadwick and Abby Roberts. We're eating the news. I'm Mark Dolan. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is Joe Grind featuring Katie James. Don't go anywhere.
Some knowledge, man's acting like a man knew it. haters. I see bad potential, all you see is beggars. Cause you see we're eating, you should get a table. Let me tell you something, it ain't all about the money.
Justin Bieber stormed off stage because the crowd was screaming at him. He said, can you relax for 2 seconds? If we could just scream after the song,
this guy makes
and scream
me sick.
After it's done, take a chill pill and let me just speak. I don't feel like I'm being heard sometimes. It's a bit frustrating.
Oh my God, it must be so frustrating to have a bloody 50,000 people screaming at you. All right, on that, actually, it's not a bad time to have done that, because that is really annoying, to be fair. Sorry, Justin, I take it all back.
Every Wednesday, Joey Page, from 1 p.m. on FUBAR Radio. Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Now, I will say that we're eating the news in the company of Abby Roberts and Colin Chadwick, and we've just discussed, had quite a meaty conversation about Russia and global affairs, and I'm very pleased that on this show we can do that, Abby Roberts. Thank you for playing ball on that one, because you've got your ear close to the Russian ground.
Yes.
And you are borderline Russian national yourself. And in fact, just off the back of some of the remarks I've made, you've asked for me to be killed. And
not at all.
Get the sushi.
You
apparently.
Two are safe.
The sushi's
yeah.
on
Believe
its way.
Me.
Oh, I'm
yeah,
right.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You and your dad, by the way, but I'm delighted that we can be serious. And but you know, now we'll get back to the frivolity. But I did want to ask you: your dad is a spy. Did he come
diplomat.
Home? Diplomat, correct. Yeah. Did he come back with special devices? Like, did he have a suitcase that had like a flick knife built into it, or you know? Did he have, were there hidden cameras everywhere?
I could tell
did
you.
Did he have
then
a false leg?
I mean, I'd have to, I really would have to kill
or
him.
Maybe something more Russian, like a hammer that turns into a sickle or something like that.
Yeah. Or a hammer that turns into a bottle of Stolichnaya vodka.
Oh yes, now you're talking.
Now listen, talking about things that I'd like to have, let's talk briefly about Black Friday, which is a huge global event. It's a bit like Halloween. It's kind of America's fault that we do it. But it's here now. In fact, I can't really remember hearing about Black Friday until, 5 years ago or something? We didn't grow up with
when
did we?
People started celebrating Thanksgiving here. Kind of, it goes hand in hand with Good Friday.
Correct.
Or with Black Friday.
Well, Black Friday. Oh, yeah, well, there's Good Friday. Well, there's your Irish Catholic thing slipping in. Do you engage with it? Have you bought anything for Black Friday? You Black Friday fans?
No.
I just
go shopping for the fights. It's just to kick people and trample on people.
Well, no, you are famously quite a violent, pugnacious character.
Yeah,
so
that's it.
You go to like a flagship Dixon's and just kick off, do you?
That's it, yeah. And I do like to shop in places that are really chaotic, like Primark and TK Maxx, you know, the type of stuff that
where it's already on the floor,
just roll around
in it.
Because that's how I'm going to, like, if it looks good on the floor in the shop, I hope it looks good on my floor at home. So that's the way I like to shop. And fighting is my thing, but not so much.
It is
bargains.
A terrible aspect of human nature that you see. Black Friday, seemingly civilized people at each other's throats over a flat screen telly.
Yeah, that's it. And, but even at that, because like most of these things are on sale online now. So you could stay at home and have Black Friday at home, but people still choose.
That's a great idea. Black Friday parties at home.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So you basically like sort of arm wrestle Auntie Ethel.
You have 30 people, but there's only one computer, so only one person could shop online at the one time.
It's a great idea. It does strike me as a bit illogical. Like, I feel like there are sales all year. I'm not sure, Abby, that I really buy the idea of Black Friday. I think that a lot of it is stuff that might be reduced anyway. It feels like a gimmick. Am I wrong?
I think it is a gimmick, yeah. And I'm going to really, really push my contrarian head out here and just say, I think it's capitalism gone balmy. Mm. I really do. I mean, isn't it just, don't we kind of short a lot the rest of the year?
Anyway,
kind of,
they start sales, you know, on Christmas Day online now as well. So Boxing Day kick off. For,
yeah.
So it's just a lot of consumerism.
Just go to the pub with your friends.
Black Friday in a pub and have like beer that's about to go out of date for I don't know 40 pence a pint.
And by the way, you'll see some real fights.
Yeah,
see some when Abby tries to get her hands on the last bag of McCoy's.
The other thing that's bizarre about Black Friday is that already the retailers are responsible for, up to now we've had very low inflation in this country the last few years. One of the main reasons why is because retailers, the high street, we have them to thank, they have cut. Supermarkets are so competitive, the big four. That's why inflation is low, is because they are competing and bringing down. So clothes have never been cheaper. The production of clothes have never been cheaper. The marketing of them. How is Primark going to have a Black Friday? Surely the prices are going to go minus. It's going to be like you buy a pair of jeans and they give you £10. I mean, that's all that can. That's the only way prices can go with Primark.
Yeah, in the build up to Black Friday, with Primark, all those people who work in their factories, do they have to pay Primark to come to work? You know, how do they make money out of it?
The thing is, you're both quite terrible liars, because you might say that you eschew Black Friday. But when you switch on your laptop and you see a little pop-up from Amazon saying Black Friday, fire sale, you know, Kindle or whatever the device is, it's going to catch your eye, isn't it? You can't not get sucked in, surely, just because of the sense of the occasion?
Well, I think you get drawn in. Like, I mean, if I saw a picture of a huge...
naked woman for £1,000.
Precisely. It's going to catch your eye, but you don't know necessarily going to buy it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, where do you do your shopping then? Is it mainly online? How do you guys shop? Coles, where do you get that lovely, very smart, and you're
this,
allowed to wear
I think, was 2 years ago in the Irish version of Primark Pennies, as it's called. But I tend to buy clothes in bulk to try and last me a few years. I transcend fashion by buying bulk amounts of clothes that will just last me a long time, because I don't like shopping.
Right.
Not at all. Even... it's just too much online. I try to avoid it. I was trying to watch a trailer for Girl on the Train a few weeks ago on YouTube, and I had to sit through a trailer for another film as an ad for the ad I wanted to watch. It feels like we're kind of getting clobbered, so I just try not to spend money now.
Yeah.
I'll just steal stuff.
Well, I don't blame you. Oh, it's worth remembering that Primark is an Irish... Is it an Irish business?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Are you quite proud?
Kind of. It's I don't know if it's something you'd be proud of.
I think it is, because they've reinvented the retail model, really, and they've just thrown everything. I mean, Primark makes H&M look pricey.
It does.
They're like disposable clothes.
It makes peacocks look like bloody Harrods.
Peacocks. Oh, you're going to be drunk to go to Peacocks.
I don't know Peacocks. That's
You don't have to be drunk to shop here, but it helps.
But it helps.
Oh, okay.
But also, as comics, don't you find I have a uniform. I have a T-shirt and black trousers.
Yeah.
Because it's just like... So I very rarely get into something... I doll myself
it's
up.
It's true, because I have that uniform, which is Abby Roberts' T-shirt and black trousers. You know how they keep going missing?
Yeah, I wonder where they've gone.
What happens is your dad puts them in a sealed envelope for me at the right price, and I give him information about the Queen.
Pass the Amazon guy in the bunk.
That's my ideal, though, as in terms of fashion, is to be like a cartoon character and have the exact same clothes every day, and like Homer Simpson... settle on one shirt and one pair of trousers and nothing else for the rest
of
your life.
Well, you are like a cartoon character. You are like Homer Simpson, because you refuse to age and you're the funniest thing ever. So Colin Chadwick and Abby Roberts, also hashtag joint funniest thing ever. Thank you for joining me. Can I get the social media plugs or website plugs?
Yeah.
Because people have heard this and they're going to want more, because I know that, because I've been around the block a few times.
Yeah.
So deets, please.
Deets. So my website, www.abbyroberts.com.
Bang.
Twitter @AbbyRoberts, and all the info about Anglicanka tour and all my gigs. Cheers.
Congratulations. Chadders.
@ColinChadwick on Twitter and Colin.ie. I'm on first name terms with the internet, is my website.
keeping it real. You're down with the homies. You've nailed it. It's been a brilliant show, all because of you two. Thanks for listening. Many thanks to Abby for helping put the show together. We'll be back soon. Keep it FUBAR. You guys are great. Playing out with the OJs, them OJs for the love of money. Just say. Do you remember that? Do you remember money before Brexit? There used to be some. Don't let money ruin your life. How many days have I said to say? Okay.